We are down to the last wire with the general elections now just 2 days away. Early voting saw a record turnout and the political arena is heated with last-ditch efforts to sway voters. While it is all too easy to get swept up in the politicking, we must take a beat to focus on the big election issues. After all, South Korea faces a number of problems with no quick fix. From a slowing economy, low birth rate, runaway housing prices, growing missile threat from North Korea, and not to mention political polarization. So just before Election Day, what are the most important points to consider? For some insights, we now connect with Professor Kim Byung-joo of Hanguk University of Foreign Studies. Good morning, Professor Kim.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Hope you had a decent weekend.
I did. Thank you very much.
All right, let's begin with the early voting that just took place this past Friday, Saturday. The turnout was reportedly a record high for a parliamentary election. What are some of the major takeaways?
Well, I guess during this, what you called my decent weekend included my early voting. I went to the place like Saturday, I guess, mm-hmm. And oh man, there was a long line, so many people. It was early Saturday morning and I didn't exactly expect that many people at the site, but I just could feel that level of commitment on the side of people for this political participation. As someone who teaches politics, this really matters because I talk to foreign students who come from elsewhere around the world, and they often talk about the sense of lack of power. They say, no matter what we do, my country doesn't change and there isn't anything I can do about it. That kind of sense of relative lack of sense of power, that's quite widespread in other countries around the world, but I sense there's something opposite here. People really wanted to make a difference, and I see a positive sign there in long line early Saturday morning for early votes. And as you mentioned, the number turned out to be 31.3%. So close to one out of every three voters actually voted early rather than this coming Wednesday. And so what does this mean? More than anything, obviously, the voter mobilization, people want to vote and people want to exercise their right there, and that's probably because they have concerns and the reasons to do so. If they believe the outcome will turn out to be in the way they want, they may lack a motivation to actually come all the way out there, especially like I did Saturday early morning, staying in the line and stuff like that. So people do have concerns and interest in the outcome of this election, and they want to make a difference. That was clearly seen there. And scholastically, calling it, I guess, the marginal value of one vote. They see greater marginal value of their own vote. So that means this is kind of neck and neck, or not necessarily 50% neck and neck, but like the outcome, what's expected can be tilted and then turn out to be different by a small number of votes. And that's what voters might be sensing. Used to be the early voting used to be dominated, a lot of observers believe, by the younger voters. People, relatively younger voters with young children, young small family, having plans to go out somewhere on the actual election day. And so they want to vote early and have an election day as their holiday. That used to be the picture. But now they're saying increasingly more older voters come actually and to vote, because early voting itself, the system itself, has become much easier these days. Very convenient, no hassles involved. So elderly voters find it quite convenient to come and vote. So more of them come out here as well. I think that kind of contributed as well.
So, past indications telling us election history indicates higher voter turnout for liberals. It might not necessarily be true this time around, but what we understand is stakes are high. People are definitely more invested in getting their votes in. Those long lines, that's what actually turned me away the same Saturday morning, Professor Kim. But in high.
You're busy. You have something else to do.
I had to get to a tutoring session and I thought I could squeeze it in like a 30-minute interval. The lines didn't look short.
Story, right?
But now I'm realizing the two-thirds will head to the polls this Wednesday.
So
I need to block
amazing.
Out time. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a positive sign, perhaps, voter mobilization for the general elections. Now, unfortunately, though, Professor Kim, I must say the last push in election campaigning does often result in what we dub negative campaigning, putting the other person down as opposed to focusing on, the policies and their pledges. And pundits have pointed out that this election is no different, maybe because stakes are also very high. But what's important for us is to keep tabs on the crucial issues. So what can we say about the key issues in this election?
I guess, interestingly, you kind of already pointed out and mentioned key issues at the beginning of this segment. But I have to agree with you, like economy that needs kind of greater, faster growth for sure. And a lot of people are concerned about it, especially some of the key industries facing global supply chain reshuffling and US-China tensions and what it means for some of the key industries and how Korea is handling it. That's a key issue. And you also mentioned the housing issue. Housing issue was a huge contentious issue during the previous government, but this time it was kind of coming down. But then again, there are concerns about what's happening new here. The ever-present perennial issue of aging population and closely related to that is, how are we going to support ourselves when you get old? National pension system, the reform of it. How are we going to sustain the senior citizens in their old age? National pension reform is very important. And the income issue also is very important. We hear these higher level earners making ever greater amount of income, but people at the lower side, how are they going to protect as a member of the same community to go forward together? All this, these issues matter, together with, of course, the external issues of North Korea, North Korea threats, and related to that, how are we going to deal with China and Japan and the United States, this upcoming November election and so on. So it's a pretty much endless list of very important issues that this nation faces, and this lawmakers, new cohorts of new lawmakers elected this time will make a difference big time, more on the domestic side, but also, relatively speaking, also on the international side as well. So those are the issues. But as you mentioned, it looks like despite the fact that there is a long list of really important issues out there, the election turns out to be more of a result of political polarization. People not wanting the other side to win, right? Supporters of President Yoon's party seeing what they call criminals, running for offices, and they are dying to stop them, basically. And then supporters of Democratic Party see this what they call incompetent president sitting in his office, and some of the radical criticals of the radical critics of the president are talking about impeaching the president, actually. So this is very serious confrontation we're talking about, and that's what's at stake in their minds.
So as a voter, we need to be mindful of the fact that worsening political polarization means practically every sensitive issue could be seen through a partisan lens. So how to become a more sensitive, educated voter? I saw that the DP has put out 286 pledges. The PPP has 301 pledges. How do I weed through it, Professor Kim?
the sad reality is people don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Surveys indicate that.
They should care, right.
Right. But try anyway, because there are enough analysis out there and we need to be mindful of them. So,
absolutely.
Professor Kim, the Democratic Party has slightly leading in many of the polls. How do we explain this? And what are the possible different scenarios for the final outcome?
Looks like when we looked at all these different numbers in the polls, and we don't, of course, we don't want to speak about specific numbers of the polls. There are regulations requirements of mentioning polls in the broadcasting here. So, but overall, it is official line that the Democratic Party is talking. They're saying they're ahead in about 110 districts. Out of 300, not even there are proportional, representations and stuff like that. But they're close to 300, let's say. Let's make it rough. And out of 300, about 110, they're leading. And then the People Power Party, they're saying I don't think they have official line, but different sources say somewhere between 80 to 90, they are leading. What it means is that in all different media reports say there are about 50 to 55 different districts where. So if we add these numbers, what turns out to be is that if like half of these districts. If these districts where they connect gets evenly divided between the two major parties, we would end up status quo. What we have right now, the status quo. People Power Party had more than 100 seats, 110, close to 120, and then we have about 170 or so. The current status, if the these contested districts, that's even. But of course, you never know how it's going to come out. And it looks like even division is more unrealistic than one side taking some more swings towards their direction. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But what we are saying is my point is being that in terms of greater probability. The greatest probability is actually the kind of like going back to status quo of what we have for 21st National Assembly going into 22nd National Assembly. But of course, with those numbers, there are different possibilities of actually People Power Party winning big, which looks like they say because of number calculations, least likely one and more likely one relatively is a Democratic Party winning big. But in my calculation and other calculations, most likely is kind of getting close to the status quo, what we have right now. So there are three different scenarios for sure.
Okay, and depending on those scenarios, what's at stake in this election? As you can imagine, if main opposition DP holds on to majority, we're looking at a lame duck scenario. Not to, just make hasty generalizations, but that's possible, isn't it?
Right, exactly. The most likely scenario, relatively speaking, I'm not saying this is strongly likely, but relatively speaking, most likely scenario of going get back to close to what we have right now, as you said, the lame duck presidency remaining in place, not being able to legislate any major policy initiatives into law, and kind of like the fights that we've seen for the past 2 years continuing into the remainder of President Yoon's presidency. That's scenario number one for the status quo. Scenario number two, relatively speaking, the number two, mo second most likely scenario of Democratic Party landslide. In that case, if their numbers get close to two-thirds of the seats out of this 300, then two really major ones. One, presidential impeachment, as some of the radicals on the Democratic Party side and its allies are talking about, presidential impeachment is possible with two-thirds of the seats. If we see close to or more than 200 out of 300 seats go to Democratic Party side, and then together with that also constitutional amendment, whichever. A direction Democratic Party wants to change that constitution, they could actually go ahead with that as well. So those are huge. That's very, very big. And then in our calculation, the third and then relatively speaking, least likely scenario of a People Power Party landslide, the President Yoon's party gaining the majority in the legislature and everything. What that means is that President Yoon will be able to actually introduce his key policies into laws and gear up his drive and actually leaving clear legacy in terms of what he has done as a president until the end of his term. So that will be really important for PPP's side. And then also the critics of the opposition will like to see probably, you know, Lee Jae-myung, the current party of Democratic Party, and Cho Guk, the fast rising new star in this party politics, facing the judiciary decisions and so on. So those are likely scenarios.
All right. As we've alluded to, the general election is primarily a face-off between the two largest parties for a parliamentary majority. That's the case. But to what extent do the minor parties matter in this general election, Professor Kim?
Well, I was checking the numbers of minor parties currently in this the past National Assembly, the 21st National Assembly, and we saw six seats at the time of the election 4 years ago. The Justice Party won six seats, and People's Party won three, and then Open Democratic Party three, and then non-affiliated five. So if we add those numbers together, that comes about to 17 or so out of 300 seat legislature. So that's what, about 5% or, you know, about close to that. So basically, traditionally, what we know is the third party minor have had big presence in Korean legislature. But this time, you know, we see great uncertainty in terms of, for example, Cho Guk, former justice minister under the, you know, Moon government, forming his own party while he's facing trials. And we see great, you know, public excitement about it. And so if his party wins big, and if the Democratic Party wins big, together they could actually try to seek the big two big changes I talked about, the presidential impeachment. Together, you know, they can form an alliance, and then even constitutional amendments. So those are going to be some of the really big impacts we can see being made by minor party, the Cho Guk's party. You know, after winning, he's talking about winning 10 seats or more. Of course, that's his aspiration. We'll see how that results. But if that's materialized, we could see something big in Korean politics coming up.
I think that's about all the time we have for this segment, but we'll speak to you again after the election results are finalized. See you Friday. Speak to you then, Professor Kim.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.